comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose, to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is September 14th, 2013. It is just the end of summer and fall. No, I just thought I'd mess with you a little bit. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm sorry, but you know, this is what happens when there's no supervision and the horseman and the dog are in the barn by themselves. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 24th of December, 2013. It is officially Christmas Eve here at the ranch in Oklahoma. We've got a live show. Just thought I'd throw you there, make you wonder, what's going on? What's happened at the barn? Where are they? Actually, Jim is in Idaho at his in-law's dairy ranch. So he's not in a barn, but he's on a dairy farm. Ranger and myself are here at the ranch. And so you still get the email. You still get to use text messaging. So it's going to be a normal show. We're going to be getting a hold of Jim in just a second. And so, and actually, as far as the sound goes, folks, it should sound pretty close to where he's just right here in the barn. Tonight is Christmas, and we kind of want to say welcome. We're kind of hoping, got our fingers crossed, that, I'm not going to cross my fingers because then I can't eat cookies and potato chips. We're kind of hoping that maybe you've invited some people that they're not against Christianity. They're not against the Bible. They're not like devil worshipers running around trying to, you know, barbecue the neighbor's cat or something like that. But what they are is they've been turned off because organized religion, without a doubt, organized religion can really turn you off to God. Organized religion can really take the wind out of your sails with having a prayer answered. We've talked about this for years now on Jim's radio show. And tonight, we're going to have some fun. We're going to make sure that you have a little fun because it is Christmas Eve. But also, we want to give you some things to think about because it is a holiday. And for so many of you, you're traveling, your family or friends, or maybe that you have people at your house that you already wish would go get a motel somewhere because you're already tired of them being in the house. But I want you to do something for me, okay? I want you to get a piece of paper and a pencil. And it's not because you're going to be taking a lot of notes, but we've always talked on the show how God likes math. God loves mathematics. Well, tonight we're going to give you some math equations to really think about. We always talk about how there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world, how you can be distracted so easily. Even though all your sins are forgiven, ask and you shall receive, God answers all prayers, so many of us prayers are never answered. So it makes us wonder, is there a God? Are prayers answered? Because according to the book, they're supposed to be. Well, the problem isn't the book. It's not the guys. It's not God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or grace. Well, then whose problem is left? It's our problem. Because we do not give the right amount of attention to the right amount of places. So tonight we're going to talk about Christian mathematics. We're going to talk about how easy it is to see the distractions. And it's never more apparent than at a major holiday like Christmas. And Jim, how's things going up in Idaho?
I'm doing really good. I'm up here in Jerome, Idaho, which is right outside of Twin Falls. Some of you may remember years ago, Evel Knievel jumped the Twin Falls River, and I don't think he made it too well. But anyhow, we're up here. Just got here today, so we're with family for a little bit of time here in the next few days. But everything is going real well, and Merry Christmas to everyone. Thanks for joining us on this show. I really feel good about the subject matter that we're going to discuss tonight. It's going to be good for all of us.
Yeah, I think it will too. And the nice thing about it is that, I mean, I had to buy them, but I mean, I have potato chips. I've got chocolate covered pretzels.
And I had to buy them.
That's right. I had to buy them.
Sorry, folks. That's very funny because I'm usually the one that buys them. So now he actually had to.
But the neat thing about it is I've already had 13 cookies. I've had 13 cookies, didn't have to share. I didn't have to, you know, sometimes, you know, you buy like the most ridiculous of snacks. And so I could buy the best cookies. So I've had 13 cookies so far.
All right. Well, you may get up to about 30 or 40 of them tonight.
I'd maybe like to. More. Okay. You know, Jim, we talked before we got started, just like always, we did it with Skype. We started talking about an hour before the show started tonight. And we were talking about math, and I said, we'll figure this out. And I said, okay, we're going to break this down for you, folks, so you have kind of an understanding. I said, it's Christmas. I said, break it down. There's 24 hours in a day. Okay, how many hours do you sleep? How many hours do you are you going to sleep? Are you going to have a meal, brush your teeth, go to the bathroom, take a shower or a bath? Okay, how many hours are you going to watch TV? How many hours are you going to play video games? How many hours are you going to, like, open up presents and gifts, talk on the phone, go outside to smoke a cigarette, help clean up the Christmas mess, take the dogs outside, just subtract. Keep subtracting minutes and hours, sections of time, from 24. And, Jim, you were quite surprised to see what was left when I said, now this is the time left, supposedly at Christmas time, to celebrate Christ. There really wasn't a big percentage, was there?
Well, no, and you know, I knew in a sense that there wouldn't be, but my point of why I was more surprised is just because as we were talking, you know, the whole idea is this is the time of year, okay, I'm doing quote-unquote here, the time of year everyone is basically thinking about giving, the reason for the season, and of course we know, you know, different folks aren't really liking, you know, the whole idea that it's Christmas or trying to just make it a holiday, but especially for people that are religious, it's the time to think about Jesus. So in a time where we're actually dedicating it to thinking about Jesus, look at how ironic it is that there's hardly any time actually thinking about Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because so many times on this show we've used the term clicks, like if you're looking at a compass and true north is the way to Christ in heaven, how many clicks off of that due north compass are you? Because if you're one or two clicks, every time you take a step, you're going to drift farther away. We've talked about how easy it is to be distracted and how easy it is to find yourself not even in a position to even talk to God or see God if he was to appear in front of your face, because you're so wrapped up in the dramas and the reality of the world. And this is why in bold, big, fat red letters, it says there's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world.
Right. Yeah, real good. I mean, it's so easy to get distracted. And even when your intentions are real good, it doesn't take much to be distracted. In fact, I'm gonna just tell that story about Allie and I, because it really fits right into us talking about
Allie is
Christmas
your
too.
Oldest daughter?
Yeah, Allie's the oldest, and just past week, you know, she definitely had some, you know, some symptoms that attacked her throat, and she had her tonsils were really swollen, and had some, you know, just ugly looking stuff back there that was really sore. Well, in the meantime, you know, of course I got with her, but again, it's very interesting. You can take a position of saying, I don't accept this. There's no way in the world we're going to have this, of which she did. And even some pains that came to her stomach that were just so severe one night, she came and got me and she said, I'm just hurting so bad. And I got up with her and I stayed with her and ministered to her. And we just talked about the Lord and they went away. And the next day they came back. And my point is to say, you know, you can take a Christian point of view, which is to say, I'm not going to accept this because I know that I'm healed. I know what the Bible says. I know what God did for me. But just because you take that perspective doesn't mean you've included being receptive and open to grace, having God's power or his ability. And so it was a couple of days after she's been struggling with this that I'm just thinking about it, and God just gives me a word for her, and I went ahead and sent her a text. I said, you know, just go ahead, and she sent me back an okay, and instantly, right then, everything just began to change, and it all just left. Not only the pain in the stomach, but the throat, everything left, and she's perfectly fine. So I guess I wanted to bring that in, BJ, because as a testimony, it shouldn't have taken 2 or 3 days for us to figure out, make a connection with the anointing. But that's exactly what happens. We can get so busy that even if you take the posture of, hey, this is the holiday of Jesus, well, unless you make a connection with God's grace, things don't change, do they? And it's so easy to get distracted and keep yourself from that connection, right?
Well, hold on a second. I didn't know you were going to stop talking. I'm having some Christmas potato chips here. Well, you're right. You're exactly right that they're distractions. And speaking of something that is not a distraction, and we actually think they make the show, and we're very excited for them, especially since I'm in Oklahoma and Jim is in Idaho, we would love lots of text messages and emails tonight. So don't think of them as a distraction. And if you have a question or a comment that doesn't have anything to do with the subject matter at hand, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask it. We're here in the barn one day a week, every Tuesday night, so make sure you take advantage of that. The way you email the show is easy. It's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no space, no capitals, The Abiding Presence at Gmail. G as in grandma's gravy, gmail.com.
Hey, BJ, since you're mentioning the text and the email, this past weekend, I was at Sherwood's Church up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And had a wonderful time, and I was pleasantly surprised and blessed to have the kitchen counter folks spend, I think they came 2.5 hours to come to the meeting, and also Dave and Barb came to the meeting. And we had a great time after the service just talking with one another.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and they definitely send their hellos to you, too.
If you want to send a text message to the show, the way you text the show is the first word that you type is grace. The word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Can't believe I have to spell it. That's the first word that you type in your text message. And then you just type the rest of your text message and you send it to this 5-digit number. There's no one. There's no area code. It's just 69302, 69302. On the contact page of the Abiding Presence website, on the contact page is the email and the text. We've got a text. It says, Merry Christmas, Ranger, Jim, and BJ from Nick, the forklift driver, and his wife, Ashley, spending family time tonight. Merry Christmas to everyone else. So it sounds like the forklift driver has Christmas Eve off, and he's at home with his family. Okay, we got an email here. Guess what? It says, Merry Christmas, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Kitchen counter people wishing you a Merry Christmas. We regrettably are not able to listen live tonight. We will be with in-laws and outlaws tonight. Kitchen counter couple and our two boys drove to Jim's meeting in Wisconsin last Saturday and really enjoyed the meeting. Meeting Jim face to face. Merry Christmas to all our listeners, families on the Abiding Presence radio show. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, really, really good.
Got another email here. It says, Merry Christmas to Ranger Jim and BJ. As I sit here anticipating tonight's show, I'm reveling in the wonder of God. I received my Christmas miracle last Saturday night. You see, Jim was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, pasteurizing at Living Word Church, and I was there. His message went straight to my heart. He expounded on how we got in God's way when it comes to our healing. In short, when I left that night, I was carrying my walking stick. The stick had been part of my life for the past 5 years. The doctors had told me I had Lou Gehrig's disease and had 4 to 6 years to live. That was in 2009. On my own, I discovered it was Lyme disease that had been with me for over 30 years. Since the false diagnosis, I've never been to a doctor or been sick except for the Lyme's. It affected my muscles and made them very weak. 2 months ago, I quit taking all vitamins and supplements. I feel better now than ever, and Saturday night was the awesome show of God's grace. The stick will now adorn my wall as a reminder to stay the heck out of God's way when he is working on me. I can't thank you enough, both of you, for all you share with us listeners. You have truly made a difference in my life. May God richly bless you. This is from Lily the Lumber Lady.
And, oh, that's great.
And we just got another text that says, so what did you say that brought the change in her body? And then it says, Merry Christmas. So, Jim, we got a text question for you. It says, so what did you say that brought the change in her body? And then it says, Merry Christmas.
Okay, give me just a second. I'm going back, and I'm going to read you exactly what I said, because I remember I texted it to Allie. And this is, let me see.
Are you there?
Right. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just
I get
going
nervous
back.
When it gets quiet, because with Skype, I don't know if, you know.
Yeah, you're not. Well, can you see me still, BJ?
No, I turned the screen off because I really don't want to look at you. I look at you enough when you're here in the barn. But, hey, Jim, guess what? You know what this is? Those are Bavarian chocolate dipped pretzel twists. I was gonna save you one, but then I thought, nah, why bother?
Okay, this is exactly what I said. I found my text, and this is when everything changed. And I wrote it like this because this is just what the Lord said to me. And again, it goes back to just making the connection with God. And it doesn't have to be that God says something to you. It's just that you stay in a conscious awareness of Him. But this is what He said. I wrote it down. Tell Allie she is well, and don't try to get something. Just thank me and relax. Allie writes back okay, and it all changed right there.
I think that, you know what you ought to do?
What's that?
You ought to, like, yell out the door and have Allie come in and talk about it.
I could.
Well, why don't you?
Go ahead and talk. Hey, can you talk to them about what we're doing next week? That would be a great thing. Okay.
Yeah, this would be a good time. He's going to go out the door and see if he can snag his daughter away from whatever she's doing. I wanted to let you know that not only is tonight Christmas Eve, the 24th of December, are you listening to a live show, but we have a major, major extravaganza for next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night is the 31st, which is New Year's Eve. And if you didn't catch last week's show with Sherwood Wilson from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Mr. Creamy himself, it's on the archives right now. So you can listen to the archive show from the from Tuesday, the 17th of December. But anyways, we're going to rig it up with the help of Skype. Because he was planning a big 1 to 2 hour New Year's Eve extravaganza get together. And we're going to tap into that and make that part of the radio show. So how exciting is that going to be? A couple of hundred people with Sherwood up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and then we're going to be joining them with the radio show. The radio show still start at 8 o'clock. Radio show will be over before 10. So you'll have plenty of time to go to the liquor store and get a bunch of alcohol and some cigarettes and some cigars and ammunition for your gun for celebrating New Year's Eve. What? What do you mean, oh, my gosh?
I come back from talking with Allie, and I hear liquor and cigarettes and guns. It's like, what is he doing?
Did you find her?
Well, I did find her. You're going to laugh because she looked at me. She said, I'm done with speech class. I said, no, come on. It'll be fine. She said, I can't do it. BJ, in her speech class, her first speech that she had, and bless her heart, she got up to give a speech. And she stood there, and when she turned around to look at all the people, she froze, and tears just started dripping off her face.
Oh, really?
And she freaked, and tears just dripped off her face, and took like 20 minutes for the teacher, who's a great teacher, everybody loves him, to help encourage her and got her to be able to get through her speech, you know?
Wow.
So anyhow, she, folks, just I promise you this, she verified that that's exactly what happened. So... But she's nervous as can be to even come on and just say something. So,
wow, she should lean on grace.
Well, I know.
All right, folks. Well, next week there'll be New Year's Eve, and so we're going to be here with a live show, including Jim will be back in Oklahoma. So Jim and I will be in the barn with my dog Ranger, and we'll be with Sherwood up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So that'll be another opportunity for you to invite someone that you'd like to listen to this show. That maybe raises their eyebrows and says, I got better things to do with my time than listen to 2 hours about Jesus. And so this might be an opportunity next week to get them interested in listening to the show, and it should be a good show. So spread the word on that.
BJ, yeah. I got a thought, and I want you to comment on this. I'm going to ask it to you, but this is one of the things that I see, and I feel like it's a huge problem. And yet one of the reasons that I think really keeps people from understanding how wonderful it is to experience God. But when we talk about, you know, even like at the holiday season, here it's a holiday where it's all supposed to be all about Jesus and his birth and remembering him. And really, it's not like we're condemning people if you don't like, say, Jesus, walk around like, a nutcase, say Jesus all day long. But... Here's my thought. It's really difficult for people to include Jesus in everything when Jesus isn't real to them. Because then it's them trying to almost like memorize, you know, a line to a play or something all day long. Like it's a task. And including grace into your life all day is not a task. It's joy. It's excitement. It's an experience that's better than anything in life. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you did pretty good. That was pretty decent pasteurizing. Plus, Christmas Eve, so I don't want to be too tough.
Oh, yeah, thanks. But comment on that, because the difference between trying to make it a task to have Jesus in your life and actually experience him as a person so that you're hanging out with somebody are two different entire things.
Well, there's... I actually kind of get tired, and I mean not sick, but I actually get kind of exhausted and tired of saying this, because it seems like it's a mantra, and it seems like it would just get boring to listen to, because I actually get tired of saying it. But people really do not grasp this phrase. There's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. They just do not understand the all-encompassing scope of what that phrase commands. Because what they're talking about in no uncertain terms is the body. It's not about your body. It's about your spirit, your soul. Well, if it's not about your body, then that means it cannot be about where the body is or what the body is capable of doing or experiencing.
Okay.
Which means that the task, it, you have to go to school to learn how to do things. Then you have to have a job. You have to have an income to pay for things. So for the body, for the world, that reality that you acknowledge and you're living in right now as you're listening to Jim's show, there's always two things that happen. If you want something or you need something, you either have to work for it or steal it or earn it. There is a task involved. There is a process to having it. That's why Jesus' blood has paid for our sins, which means the love of God is a gift.
Right.
To show that there is no work involved. There is no task for Christianity. There's nothing to do but acknowledge it and accept it. It's real easy to acknowledge God. You can be saved. You can be blessed. You can be baptized. You can go somewhere to worship. You can shovel money in their door. You can do all of that. But until you accept Christ into your heart, you'll never have a prayer answered because there's no connection. Because we're under the impression, and we have learned from our parents who learned from their parents who have learned from their parents, so on and so on, and with religious hyperbole, that it just can't be that easy. You have to work, which means there has to be a task attached to your productivity as a Christian, which in reality is a stumbling block to your connection as a Christian.
Right. Yeah, very good. I like that. And I got a scripture that'll help here in Galatians 5:25 in the Message Bible. It says, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better or another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. That's a real good scripture that really does, I think, exemplify what BJ just said, where it's not just an idea in our heads or sentiment in our hearts, but it's something that we begin to work into every detail of our life.
That's right. It shows that there are so many scriptures or so many places that shows that nobody really worked for anything they got from Christ. Think of this for a second. If you're snow skiing in Colorado, and there's an avalanche, and you're buried in snow, you're not really concerned about the fact that your cable TV bill is due in the morning. You're sailing, and the boat sinks, and you're in a life raft somewhere out in the ocean. You could really care less if you know that in 3 days your cellular phone will get turned off, because you don't have it with you anyways. It sank with the boat. So who cares about a cell bill? I'm floating around in a life raft hoping a shark doesn't eat me. Who cares about a TV bill? I'm covered up in snow, buried, hoping I don't suffocate. If you've been convicted of a crime and you're in prison, you don't really care about anything because the outside world doesn't exist to you any longer. If you're in a hospital bed, eating that nasty hospital food, you feel so far removed from the reality that you know. People may come and visit you. You may watch television in your room, but neither one of those worlds, neither the TV or the people that come and visit you, they seem to be from another planet. Because your entire world revolves around your hospital room and your hospital bed. That is your new reality. It's like that as a Christian reality. These people have one thing in common. They're so without care. They're so far removed from the reality that you are in right now as you listen to this show on Christmas Eve. That why, if that reality is removed because there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh, how hard would it be to see God right in front of your face?
Right.
And you go, where have you been? And he'd say, well, I've been with you since you were born. A better question is, why did it take you so long to see me next to you?
Yeah, you, even look at the 9/11 when the towers were attacked and the terrorism. Everybody doing their own thing, going about their life the way that they always have. And then those planes went into the towers. We know the devastation that took place and the people's lives were, that were lost. And instantly, the whole country began to turn their attention to what was really important about life for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And churches, or you could say, you know, places with religious services were packed, BJ. I mean, people were coming like crazy.
But it
only took, what, about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks for all of that to die down until they went back to what they considered normal living.
The reason we're bringing this up tonight on Christmas Eve, and the reason I suggested that you get a piece of paper and a pencil, and I said it's about math, that God likes math, is calculate. Calculate in the 24-hour period from Christmas Eve. What do they call tomorrow night? What's tomorrow night called?
Christmas night. I don't know.
Is it Christmas night?
Sure, I guess.
Well, there's Christmas Eve, and then I know Christmas Day, so I guess Christmas night?
Okay, that works for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody will send us an email, tell us if we're right or wrong. But think about this. Christmas Eve, right now. The show's been going for 31 minutes so far. Just in your own mind, watch. Watch people. Watch out what they're watching TV. It doesn't matter what they're watching, but watching TV, cooking, laughing, arguing, going shopping, playing in the yard, scooping snow, taking the dog out, cleaning the cat litter box, eating, sleeping, going to the bathroom, taking bath showers, opening gifts. Just watch over this 24-hour period exactly how much time a person has to offer Christ.
Right.
How many minutes is there for someone that is not doing anything that has to do with the human holiday on the 25th or the 24th and doesn't have anything else going on in their thoughts? They're not doing anything that they would possibly be receptive to noticing that the guys are right there with them. And
right.
You will be shocked. You'll say, out of 24 hours, it was 2. Out of 24 hours, it was 7. Well, let me ask you something. As a parent, if you were the parent, if you were God, and someone was saying, please, God, please answer my prayer. Where are you? If you would just show yourself to me and help me, I will change my life for everything. And you say, out of a 24-hour period, you've only been available to my words and to my love, otherwise known as grace, for a fraction of that time. And the time that you were available, you didn't know that you were available.
Right.
People are so busy trying to be a Christian that they can't enjoy Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I have a couple scriptures here that I want to read. I think this is real good, too, just along the lines of what you said. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the Message Bible, it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's good. It speaks of just exactly what you said. All the different things that we do, bring those before the Lord and begin to submit them before God. Let God be involved in everything that you do. BJ, we were talking earlier about some things, and this thought came to me as we were talking, and then you embellished on it quite a bit, which was, here this season is based on the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, even before I get into this, tell me what you had told me before. I think this would be good as a preliminary before I say what I'm going to say. Tell me what you had told me before about just some conversations you had with the Lord about holidays and how the ones that really were bothersome to the Lord were the holidays like Christmas and Easter versus yeah. some of these other holidays really don't yeah. have a whole lot of purpose or meaning about anything.
No, the guys could care less about Halloween, 4th of July, Groundhog Day, Arbor Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day. They could really care less about those holidays. They don't, I mean, it really has no meaning. Because think about it this way. You're only giving, you're only given one day out of a calendar year.
Right.
That is set aside to honor your father. Now think of it this way. You've got children, okay? No matter who you are, you're listening to the show right now. You have somebody that you created that you love, that you're just dying, you're chomping at the bit to help them any way that they need it, because that's your job, just to love them and nurture them and take care of them, all right? And they pick one day that they're going to set aside for you to say how good you are. One day? In our current calendar, that's one out of 365, which means that Christians actively, honestly, only acknowledge one day. And for 364 days, they do nothing. They don't acknowledge it's not a special day. Is not a, think of it, if you have kids, what would you think if your kids just said, well, you know, it's the 17th of April. Yeah, so, well, the 17th of April every year, I have a big meal. I give my parents gift and I say, I'm your kid and I love you. We do it every year at the same time. So you just tell your parents you love them on the 17th of April? Yeah. And you give them a gift? Yeah. But how much of that time is actually spent connected with them? Well, you know, we've got the holiday and television, and we usually have a barbecue outside. We make homemade ice cream. So, you know, there's a lot going on, but it's all for them. It's all about my mom and dad on the 17th of April. If you looked at that like a fly on the wall objectively, you would go, oh my gosh. What about the other 364 days?
Right.
It's the
right.
same with Easter. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy Christmas. I'm saying look at it objectively from the standpoint of right. a Christian.
Right.
And if you look at it objectively like a Christian, two things are going to happen. You're going to realize that the Christmas that you know and celebrate really doesn't do justice to the feelings that you have for Christ. And also, if you take Christ out of it and you say, well, this isn't a celebration of Christ, this isn't really a Christian celebration. Boy, between the food, the meals, the arguments, the travel plans, the hotel, they're running out of toilet paper, and there wasn't enough green bean casserole. It was a nightmare. I need a holiday after the holiday. Well, then it diffuses your anxiety because you say, wait a minute. If this really isn't the way I want to show that I love God, if this really isn't a way that as a Christian I want to dedicate a day to God, well, then there's nothing good of the world, nothing good of the flesh. Who cares if there's not enough green bean casserole? Who cares if I got slipper socks for the third year in a row? It really doesn't matter, because it's just a world flesh situation, and it allows you to sit back and enjoy the day.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a matter of attitude, an attitude adjustment.
It's perspective. It's looking at things from a Christian perspective instead of a religious perspective. Jim, we got an email here that came in about 20 minutes ago, and it says, "Hello, Jim and BJ. Muriel and I will be listening tonight, 12:24. Merry Christmas to all." So Muriel and Dennis Madsen are saying Merry Christmas to all the other listeners out there. This message is not necessarily for tonight's show, but regarding the January 31st. So see, that's that New Year's Eve thing we're going to do next week. It says the audio video group in Eau Claire has to use one and only one source for the feed of the show at the church. If you have 10 devices running at the event, you will have 10 different sounds coming in. I strongly feel you can make it work and will be a great experience for all. We are in Tampa, Florida, but we'll be listening. Dennis and Muriel Madsen. What's going to happen at that building is from what I understand, is their audio video people or their computer people, what's going to happen is they're going to hook Skype up to the entire place. And so there'll be a couple microphones hooked into their PA system. And so everybody in the room will be able to hear. It'd be like just having a set of speakers in a room with only one computer turned on. And so all the sound will be good. So everybody smile. Muriel and Dennis Madsen says, Merry Christmas, everybody. We got another email here that came in 8 minutes ago. It says, good evening, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Oh, by the way, folks, Ranger had a birthday. She's now 8 years old. She turned eight last Thursday, the 19th of December. It says, good evening, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. So excited to hear you are live on the air tonight with a new show. Love your messages on God's grace. Merry Christmas and God bless. And this is from somebody named Sherry. Folks, if you want to email the show, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence at Gmail for Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. You can send a text to the show. The first word that you type in your text is the word grace. And then you send it to 69302. We got a text here. It says, Merry Christmas, Jim, BJ, Ranger, Rob, and Dorothea from New Jersey. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Is that the lady that makes that crunch?
Let's see. No. Dorothea's sister makes the crunch.
Well, that's close enough for me.
Yep.
Any relative of a lady that sends me candy has got to be a good lady.
That's right. Hey, what you were talking about earlier, I got a scripture that really helps here. It says, strip yourselves over in Ephesians 4:22. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and disregard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Verse 23 is what I wanted to get to. It says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, which means having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And really, the change of attitude, the change of perspective, the change of the way you see it is really what makes an entirely huge difference in how you actually approach life. I wrote something down, BJ. You haven't heard this yet. I'd like to hear what your comment is. I just found it on the internet and actually copied it and pasted it onto my iPad here. It says, give purpose to this day. And the reason I'm reading this is because, again, this helps to highlight the show, and the intention of the show is not only to show us how easy it is to become distracted, but it becomes an encouragement. And even at a time where we set aside our thoughts toward the Lord and his birth, let's not let it be just once in a while, as we've already mentioned. Let's let it be perpetual, something that happens all the time. And so listen to this. Someone wrote this down. Give purpose to this day. To get the most out of this day, give it a purpose. Instead of just taking whatever comes, experience this day the way you choose to experience it. If this day has no clear purpose, then you're likely to be tossed around by all the random things that happen. Yet when you've made a firm commitment to a specific result, your focused direction will enable you to rise above the distractions and diversions. If you're standing still, wondering what to do next, the obstacles will push you back. Yet when you're already moving forward and you encounter obstacles, your momentum will help carry you through. Give this day a purpose that will excite you, motivate you, ignite your passion, and compel you to get moving. Give yourself something good and meaningful to show for the time you spend living this day. When the next step is clear, you're much more likely to take it. When you've decided exactly what is to be done, you're much more likely to do it. There is enormous positive potential in this very day. Give this day a purpose and claim some of the great value it offers. Don't you think that's good?
Yeah, I do. I like that a lot.
I feel like it actually blends okay into what we're saying tonight, because we're trying to help people see that the affections and the attention that we endeavor to give a season, a birthday, a specific event, is just the tip of the iceberg of what we could give to God all the time. Correct?
Correct. And see, that's what we're talking about with that pen and paper and with the holiday, is to consider, folks, just how little. See, most of the time when somebody says do something, think about how much time, add it up, how much, calculate, how big is it. But see, that's the opposite. Because the problem with Christianity, the problem with organized religion and with structures and buildings is their lack of productivity. If you have 100 or 200 people in a building on a Sunday morning, and you have only two or three people stand up, and they go up to be blessed, and everybody prays for them, and then a month goes by, and they do it again, what about that says Christianity? There's no success there. There's no productivity there. You know, organized religion and the practice of it and the doctrine is the only thing that I've ever come across in my entire life that not only accepts failure and no positive growth, but it seems to embrace it.
It functions on it.
It seems to fuel the fire, of those organizations. Think about it. If this was gardening, okay, let's take God out of this. Let's take the guys out of this for a second, folks. All right, let's take it out, and let's pretend that this show is about gardening, and you want to learn how to be a better gardener. And the Bible is the biggest, most important informational book on gardening that there is. Whatever you want to grow, it tells you how to do it in the gardening Bible, in the GB, the gardening Bible. Okay. How long would you go to meetings? How long would you read a book? How long would you participate and call yourself a gardener if the more you worship and the more time you spent and the more money you sunk into it, it never bared any vegetables or fruit? The plants grew, but they were barren. There was nothing to enjoy. But yet the book would say, if you plant this and you water it and you give it sunshine and you fertilize it and you keep the bugs off of it, you'll be able to make jellies and jams and pies and muffins and all kinds of cakes out of the fruit that this tree will bear. And if you grow tomatoes, you could have ketchup and spaghetti sauce and sliced tomatoes on your salad, at the lettuce that you grow. And it talks about all this stuff, and you get so hungry and so excited, and you say, yes, it's glorious to be a gardener and to grow. But yet, that's all you do. You worship and you talk about it and you till the soil, but there's nothing to enjoy and consume.
Right.
You would leave that group. You would be so done with that in a heartbeat. So why then do so many millions of people over the history of man spend their entire lives gardening with nothing to show for it? Because there is a burning desire inside of them. You can call it your spirit. You can call it your soul. You can call it an ache in the pit of your stomach. It shows that there is a God and that you are a spirit being, and there is supposed to be a loving embrace between you and Christ.
Yes.
But what you're doing isn't the right way to go about it. Or you wouldn't have the ache. Your prayers would be answered, because the closer you are to God, you don't pray more, you pray less. Why would you have to ask God for something if you're spending all day with him?
Right.
The
right.
only time a child has to ask a parent for something is when they're away from their parents, when they're traveling, when they're out of state, when they're upstairs or downstairs. But when a child is with their parent, a parent makes sure that everything is afforded to them. Scripture says this, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I've got scripture here in Philippians 3 and verse 8, Message Bible. Paul said, "Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness, or you could say religion, that comes from keeping a list of rules, when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness." So then he goes on in verse 10, and listen to what he says. "I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, and be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it." So we look at the kind of commitment that Paul made, and what it does, it speaks real, real highly of the value that he put on Jesus. And here's one of the things that I find, that as I'm ministering and preaching around the country, if I'm preaching on the wonderments of Jesus, and don't get me wrong, folks, I've studied them, I love them, I love to just meditate on them and actually read on some of those wonderful things, even if it's something I've read before and I already know it. It just warms my heart to see what Jesus really did for me and makes me glad. I love that. And if I'm preaching on those kind of things, people get really happy. But when I've started preaching on some of the things that we talk about on this show, people get deathly quiet. I mean silence. And they just don't really know how to respond. So they just stare. And it's not, maybe some of them are a little bit mad, I don't know, but the majority of them are just really in deep thought, because the things that we're sharing bring more accountability and, like a magnifying glass, help to reveal whether there's a real commitment or whether our value is truly on the Lord or if we're caught up with the world. So I love what it says here about Paul, because you can see the value that he placed on knowing God and having a personal relationship where he was connected to him at all times. And I really feel like this is extremely important. And let this time of the year around Christmas become a reason for you to start thinking this way. Because most people are trying, in some sense of the word, to include God in this season. But it shouldn't just be a season. It's a way of life.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho.
That's my Santa impression.
Well, that's pretty good. Can you do that? Does God have an impression like that? Can you do that thing that just...
No.
You know what I'm talking about? You can't? See, it's a little different when you're in another state trying to work with each other, but...
Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Wow. Well, when you hear from the guys, it's always dramatic.
So,
we got an email here, and okay. Here's my other dog impression. Roof, roof. I seem, and I like this email a lot. It's so appropriate. Folks, send us emails, okay? We're dying for emails. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com and text messages. I'm in the barn alone. I've got snacks and my dog. I mean, come on. It's like a holiday here. It is. It's Christmas. Wow. I seem to have earned the Grinch Award year after year here in our home. I can't seem to get behind the hoopla of how Christmas is celebrated, and more so since becoming a Christian. I'm not saying I walk around as a pickle puss, but I'm definitely not on the same page with the rest of the family as we do this year after year. I am concerned about how this is affecting my family, as at times I think it may be a poor witness. Can there be a balance in this? I love this question. Jim, you answer and then I'll answer.
Can there be a balance in this as far as how other people are expecting Christmas to be and him wanting to...
No, it's her.
She wants to have more of God in her life. Well, this is a very interesting thing because, you know, to acknowledge how people view Christmas, I get it. I mean, having presents and wanting to bless people and to be a giver during a particular time of year, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I've got a family. And I love being able to get them something because I love them. But to try to include what the real meaning of Christ is into a season like this is not a real easy thing because it's so easy to get caught up with the flesh part of what people think Christmas is all about. They think it's spiritual, but it's flesh. Let's just get more presents. I need to get one more present. I need to do this. I need to do that. And there's just so much flesh in it. Now, listen, I'm not against having a good time with the family. But when it comes to making a contact with God, there's not too much about the Christmas season as people see it that contacts God at all.
Now, I like that. This is how I'm going to look at this. As I talked about this earlier. And we've talked about this many times on the show. We have a lot of couples that listen. And a lot of family that listen are around the country and stuff. And you can't force feed Christianity to somebody. You can't make somebody be a Christian. You can't love somebody to be a Christian. And if you think as a husband or wife or a brother or sister or parent and a child, if you think that two people, two human beings, two spirits of Christ, if you think that if one takes five steps forward, that the other one should take five steps forward and they should be hip and hip synonymous in their relationship with God, you're dreaming. That's an impossibility. Because every person has their own view of what they believe reality is. Every person has their own priorities, what's important to them. We have the habits and we have the upbringings of our family. And as we grow and as the affirmities of the flesh, of the dramas of the world, that influences and it shapes our choices and when we choose and how we choose. And it really is an individual journey. And the greatest testimony that a Christian can have is not to criticize December 25th and gifts and people packing too much food in their face and fighting over who gets to put the star on the tree. The testimony of a Christian is to care less about it. Who cares? Because it doesn't have anything to do with your relationship with Christ. You can sit back and have a smile on your face and drown in eggnog or your favorite drink and watch everybody go crazy and Merry Christmas, have fun, this is great. And they'll say, what's gotten into you? And then you can say, Jesus has gotten into me. But it's your personal choice to be a Christian. It's your personal choice to advance. It's your own choice whether you have a connection with God or not. You can't force it on somebody else. And so the best testimony that you have is not to be a pickle puss, as the person put it, but to have fun, to be pleasant, and to enjoy it for what it is. It's just a day that many years ago somebody picked out, and it's completely lost on gifts and food and family feuds, which have nothing to do with Christianity anyways. Don't buy into the drama of the day. Don't get sucked into the vortex of a commercialized holiday. In other words, instead of trying to figure out how to make your family and the holiday Christian, sit back, go in a room, shut the door, and say, thank you very much for being my father, and thank you very much for letting me tolerate my aunt and uncle from out of town. Please, God, please let them get home safely sooner than later. Amen. And enjoy the day. Because everything about Christianity is happy and positive. And one of the things that grace does is shows you the follies of the flesh, the ridiculous things of this world that shouldn't be tangible to begin with.
Right.
That might be your family holiday together. So sit back in a chair and watch everybody and smile and laugh and have fun, and then whisper under your breath, thank you, Grace, for letting me view this as a spectator and not a participator. Because as a participator, I wouldn't be able to thank Grace for being a spectator.
You know, BJ, I'll say something on the end of that, and that is, you know, the more that I began, and I know this is true of your testimony, but the more that I began to see grace, the more it made me aware of how much people buy into things that are not of God, or how much drama goes on in people's lives that could be easily avoided. Well, that doesn't mean that I have to go bury my head in a hole like an ostrich and try to just get away from the world because the world's wrong. But again, the fact that I'm in the world and not of it means I'm still going to be around people that are going to be given into all kinds of drama. Like you said, I have to learn how to not participate in it.
Right.
So I like that thought, because just like I was trying to say, which is I totally have a good time during the Christmas. I enjoy being around family. I enjoy the friendships, the fellowship. I enjoy the good times. I just don't allow the stuff to hinder me or to be involved in it or to get worked up by if there is any drama. I'm just not going to participate in it. Where before, you get wrapped up in things. So you keep your heart on the Lord, even in the midst of possibly someone else buying into it.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Folks, think of it. Think of this for a second. Oh, you know what I ought to do? I ought to give them the Walmart puzzle thing, shouldn't I?
Sure you should. Yeah.
Okay. I gave everybody on the ranch today the day off, paid them so they'd have some extra money for Christmas, and today and tomorrow, me and Ranger, we're doing everything by ourselves out here at the ranch. And we had a little bit of an ice storm here in Oklahoma, and it started melting today. So I was covered in mud and horse manure, and even Ranger was wet and soggy because it was kind of damp, and we're doing all the chores and doing all the work ourselves. And I decided to clean water tanks, and I mean, I was having fun, but we were really busy. Well, I decided to go to town, and I knew that I was going to be alone in the barn tonight, and I wouldn't have to worry about anybody stealing snacks or anything. So I bought what I liked. And by the way, Jim, I've eaten 17 cookies so far.
Oh, good.
And so, yeah, that's right. Good for me, 17. And I was in Walmart. I'm walking around, and people are going crazy. New Year's Eve afternoon, about 2 o'clock, and I mean, it was just packed. People were just going nuts. And I'm just in a really good mood, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to sit here and watch this because the guys wanted me to watch what was going on. So I took a folding chair off the rack, unfolded it, sat in the folding chair, leaned up on the shopping cart, and I just watched people. And this lady came over to me, and she says, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And I go, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, I just, you know," and she, I could tell, you know, she was looking at me, and I hadn't shaved, so I'm scruffy, dirty, you know, look like some old cat chew toy in the backyard. And I said, "No, really, I'm fine. I'm just taking this all in." And she says, "Oh, people are just going crazy." And she says, "I had to leave my house. I got relatives in from out of town, and there was a fight over the pool table in the garage. There's argument with the kids, the video games in the den, and the guys are in the living room watching TV, arguing over what sports they want to watch. And my sister and my mom and my aunt were arguing over Jell-O molds in the kitchen. I just made it up an excuse. I'd rather be at Walmart than in my own house right now." And I just started laughing, and all of a sudden, there's this argument erupt. "Well, if you wanted to buy it, why did you put it back on the shelf?" "Well, I just put it on the shelf till I made up my mind." "Well, I saw it first, and then I look, and there's these two women in the toy department, and they're arguing over a puzzle, you know, a puzzle that comes in a box, and they're arguing over whose it is, and it's the last one." And this lady looks at me. I get up from the chair, and I walk over to these ladies. Now, remember, I've already told you how dirty, scruffy, unshaven. You know, I'm wearing my shirts hanging out. Shirt tails are hanging out. My pant Wranglers are all muddy. My boots are muddy. You know, my hat. You get the idea. I look like a hobo. And I walk over there, and I said, this is exactly what I said. "Can I help you, ladies?" And this one lady, she says, "Do you work here?" And I go, "Yes, ma'am, I do. Can I help you?" And she says, "Well, we both want this puzzle." And I said, "Would you like me to see if we have another one in the back room? Could you do that?" And I says, "Yeah, let me look at it. I need the name of the puzzle, and then I need the numbers off of the barcode." And so I looked at the numbers, and I handed it back to the lady. And I says, "I'll be right back. Merry Christmas." And they go, "Thank you." And I walked right over to my shopping cart, which was full of some stuff. And I started walking away. And this lady that asked me how I was, she says, "Oh, you are a very bad boy." And she says, "You don't work here." And I says, "Does it look like I work at Walmart?" And she says, "No, you don't even look like you have a job at all." And she said, "Are you going to go get help?" And I says, "No. I'm just going to let him stand there." And I started laughing, and she starts laughing, and she says, "Oh, I shouldn't laugh." She says, "But that is just so funny." And I says, "But look at them. They're not upset anymore. I've distracted them." And I says, "Do you know what's going to happen in about a few minutes?" And she says, "What? They're going to look at their watch. They're going to start looking for me. And they're going to say, what happened to that scruffy salesperson? I can't believe Walmart would have such a terrible employee. Why would they hire such a bum at Christmas time? They're going to be mad at me instead of mad at each other. The whole thing has been diffused, and they'll realize that it's about a stupid puzzle, and it's ridiculous of a distraction." And she goes, "That's really good." And she says, "You need to come home with me." And I said, "I'm not going to your house. It sounds like a three-ring circus." And she says, "Well, I'd like to come home with you." And I says, "Look, you come to the ranch, I'll feed you, but you're going to have to scoop poop. Nobody gets a free meal at the ranch. You got to earn it. Hey, even Jim has helped out at the ranch." So anyways, sorry. You have, haven't you, Jim?
Yep.
And so anyways, I says, "Have you got something in your kitchen that you don't like a flower vase or a platter or a plate, something that's ugly or you don't care if it gets broke?" And she says, "Yeah, I do." And I says, "This is what you do. Go home and find this and just at the top of your lungs scream, I can't take this anymore, and just throw it on the kitchen floor and let it bust into a million pieces and just throw your hands up in the air and run into your bedroom and close the door. I says, you will hear a pin drop in your house. The rest of Christmas, your family will be walking on eggshells because they'll say, nobody do anything because mom wigged out. She's never thrown a plate before. You won't even have to clean it up. It's Christmas. Your mom, sister, or aunt will sweep it up. And she says, I can't do that. And I says, well, it'll distract them. They'll forget about all their petty little things, and they'll be more concerned about making sure that you don't need to be in a straitjacket. And here's the moral of the story. You can have this perspective on your own life, and you certainly should have this perspective of the world, how ridiculous it is, how pointless it is, and how it doesn't mean anything, and how it gets in the way of your relationship with Christ. Think of how encompassing and powerful that statement really is. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world, which means that the only thing in your way from having your prayers answered is what is more important. What is your focus? Are you more focused on the pomp and circumstance and Christmas junk? Or are you just sitting back enjoying the holiday and saying, I'm glad to enjoy this for my father?
Yeah, over here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20.
It talks about puzzles and throwing dishes in Proverbs?
Well, I'm going to try to find it in here. It says in the 20th verse, my son, attend to my words. This is the Amplified. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for their life to those who find them, health and healing to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk, put far from you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet, and let your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And the reason why I chose this verse is because it's really talking about a concentration, having a gaze set, having a focus set, seeing things for what they really are, and not being distracted by things that are just temporary. And that's why Paul made those comments over in Ephesians. And, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 18, where he said, don't get caught up looking at the things that are of this world. Keep your eyes on the things that are of heaven. For the things that are unseen are eternal, but the things that are seen, they're just temporary. They leave. They go away. I remember, I don't know how many shows it's been, BJ, because we've got at least 130 or more shows anymore. But we talked some about, and I remember you gave the illustration about, was it a math test or was it some type of high school big, you know, exam that we had? And you think back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years now, you can't even remember what it was about.
Yeah. What I said was, is so many times in school or a part-time job you used to have, you says, oh my gosh, if I show up late for work one more time, I'm going to lose this job. Or when you were a kid, you didn't do a homework assignment, or you got an F on a test and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to flunk. I'll never get this or that. And then all of a sudden, your life continues and you grow and mature, and somebody would have to show you photographs, documentation, videos, stuff that you even were upset about this. And you'd say, well, that was so long ago. And that's the term making a mountain out of molehills.
Right.
And those are the distractions. But what organized religion and buildings and structures do is they don't make mountains out of molehills. They make molehills when there isn't even any ground to be making anything mounded up to begin with. Because they have to create a scenario of work, of tasks, of things that you have to do. Well, you're not praying enough. Well, you need to join a Bible study. You need to come to Sunday school. And they keep telling you that there's more and more and more that you have to do when you're not having any productivity. Because otherwise, you would ask a question and you'd say, I have done everything that you've wanted me to do. Where is it? Where's God? Why am I not healed? Why do I still have problems? Because something's wrong. Either you're not giving me the right information, or I'm not connecting with God, but it's not working. Because once they start having people say, well, this isn't working, why am I showing up? Then their doors would close. But if they put it on you, if they turn it on you, then it's you. You can have fun on a holiday that is supposed to be about God and it's called Christmas, but it really isn't. Who cares? It's just another day without work and too much food to eat. That doesn't really sound like a bad day. Just acknowledge that it really isn't a day that it's supposed to be, because every day is a day to praise God. Every day is a day to thank the Lord. Every day is a day to connect with God.
I like that. And I was going to add to that before I even knew you were going to get on those last few thoughts that you did, that if we were to turn our thoughts just for a moment to, because our show has been for a specific purpose tonight, but if we were going to turn our thoughts for just a moment to, you know, what most people would endeavor to think of on Christmas that would in some sense be godly, you know, they're remembering that Jesus was born, and that's awesome. That's wonderful. Okay, but let's go past that. Why was Jesus born? He came to be the Savior among us as people. He came to be human so that we could see that it's possible for a human being to have a connection with God. And Jesus came to take all of our sin so that we could have all of our sin removed once and for all, and the hindrance to being with God forever was over. These are some of the things that you would want to remember for sure, not just for today, but just as BJ said, and I'm being redundant, but as he said, you'd want to remember this all the days of your life. Tomorrow, the next day, the first of the year, continue to put God or why Jesus came before your eyes and say, what would Jesus do right here? How would Jesus make this decision? What did he come to do that gives me the right to think it'll work for me? I find myself asking questions more now in my life than I ever have before. And I've found a new way of ministry when I'm out on the road, that I'm always asking people, what did you think of that? Okay, well, that's what you thought of it. That's good. But what does that mean to you? And what are you going to do with that? How's that going to affect your life? And I'm not hounding people at all. They actually really like talking about the things they just heard, because they're not used to engaging themselves past the moment that they hear it to ever use it again. So this whole time that we're talking tonight, I'm really encouraging all of you not only to use it as a regular time of reflection, but also start to rev your engines and encourage yourself. From this point on, I'm going to literally include God in everything that I do. It's time to stop having a connection and then losing it, and a connection and losing it. It's time just to have a connection and have it get better and better.
I thought that's great. All right, we got an email here. It says, Merry Christmas from Morgan Hill, California, to Ranger, BJ, and Jim. This is from Grandpa and Grandma. So we've heard from Morgan Hill. We've heard from the kitchen counter people. Yes. We haven't heard from Sue. There's a lot of people we haven't heard from that I'm sure are listening. If you want to email the show, folks, there's still plenty of time to email the show. It's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence, at the gmail.com, theabidingpresence at gmail.com. If you'd like to text the show, it's easy to text. Just the first word of your text is the word grace. Type the word grace as the first word and then send it to 69302. That is 69302. Jim, I want to talk a little bit more about next week, because we're also going to be talking more about this on next week's show as well, as far as when it comes to New Year's Eve in Eau Claire. Tell everybody what's going on up there with Sherwood's, because we want everybody listening tonight to know that next Tuesday night, New Year's Eve, we've got something we've never done before.
Well, I'll start out by saying this. You know, as I travel, there's I meet a lot of great folks, you know, but there's only a handful of ministers that really want to take some of these thoughts, incorporate them in what they're doing, and really begin to see their congregations do more than just the status quo. Sherwood probably leads the pack in that. And I'm just real impressed, BJ, when I go to his church, because from the moment people start singing, there's so much more of a connection. You can tell with people. I mean, I don't know how to even explain that. You can just tell. Your heart knows there's an anointing in the room. God's presence is there in a much more discernible way. He's done a really great job with that. And then when you minister, even though it still gets quiet and all there, like it does at other places, I just find it so much easier to get people healed, to have people really begin to respond to this message. So I'm encouraging all of you for the first of the year here, the New Year's Eve service. You really need to tune in with us, because Sherwood's going to have his congregation there. And I went ahead and kind of publicized it with all three meetings that I had, the Saturday night, the two Sunday morning services. And I think we're probably going to have a full house there. And that means that people are going to be engaged. They're going to bring questions. We're going to do question and answer. Sherwood's going to be able to have a microphone, not only to speak into it so we can hear him, but to also field questions and begin to just kind of round robin a little bit with folks. So I encourage you, be there, because the kind of topics that we're taking up, getting you prepared for this new year so you can hear God so much more regularly. Folks, listen, I could put my hand up in the air right now and just say, I am so excited about the new year, not because I've heard some minister or some prophet get up and say, you know, the year 2014 will be the year of more or something, you know, like people usually do. I'm excited about 2013 because I have more of an individual personal relationship with God now than I've ever had, and I can't wait for it to grow. I can't wait to even have more clarity with God, see God more clearly, hear Him more clearly, and bring greater testimony to everything that God can do. So I trust you'll be a part of this, because I really believe it'll be a beginning of something really wonderful. Don't you, BJ?
I'm just practicing the sound effects for midnight, just in case.
Yeah.
You know, we got.
Yeah. Yeah, no kid.
I bet that
Dash, you're on Comet.
I bet that just threw you for a loop, didn't it?
Well, you know, of course, I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years. So, you know. Hey, you know, I was in the airport the other day, and this
Merry
lady
Christmas,
just,
everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, this lady's just hobbling over to a seat next to me, and she
right?
sits down next to me. Completely exhausted, you know, just from trying to get from one place to the next. I said, kind of looks pretty painful. She said, oh, man, my knees are really bad. She said, I got one that's ready for a new knee implant. And the doctor said the other one needs one, too. She said, I'm just hurting all the time. I said, well, you know, in my line of business, people don't have to hurt. She said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a minister. And I said, I get to see people like you get up and walk around without even hurting a bit. She said, is that right? I said, yeah. I said, seems like you've been trying everything that you can try, haven't you? She says, I've done everything that there is. I said, well, you know, I don't fault people for trying to do whatever they can do. Even if they had enough money, they could fly around the world to some, you know, Asian country and get acupuncture, and maybe that would help them. Maybe that's what you need to do. I said, but as long as you're into trying everything, I said, you might want to give God a whirl. I said, one little prayer might just cause you to feel a little better. What do you think? She said, well, you know, it just might. I said, so you're not so much against it? She said, no. And I said, what's the possibility that you'd get up and you'd have no pain? I mean, as long as we're at it, we might as well go for no pain. What do you think? She said, I don't know. I said, well, you know, where's that adventurous spirit of yours? You know, you try everything else. Why not adventure out a little bit past your comfort zone and just have no pain at all? I said, how about if I pray for you right now? And I just did this tiniest little prayer. And she kind of looked at me like, is that all you're going to do? I said, well, that's it. Yeah. I said, you might as well just sit there for a little bit and enjoy it. And she's kind of looking at me funny, like, what do you mean? And I said, well, what I mean is get up right now. Watch what just happened. And she gets up and she just looks at me with this startled look. And she said, I don't have any pain. I said, oh, come on, move around a little bit. She said, I can move around. I don't have any pain. I said, isn't that something? She said, man, it really is. I said, I'm going to give you a little word of advice. I said, what's that? I said, for the next 24 hours, go home and experiment doing all kinds of things there's no way in the world you could do, but don't tell anyone. She said, why? I said, well, because if you tell somebody, they're going to think, oh my God, you met some nutcase at the airport, and mama, you really believe that? And I said, and the moment that they put that doubt in your mind, you'll go back to hurting. I said, so you just don't tell them anything for 24 hours. I said, you know why? She said, why? I said, because your husband and your family is going to see you doing things and walking around so wonderfully, they're going to ask you, how come you're doing that? Doesn't that hurt? And then you're going to be able to say, no, it doesn't. Well, what happened? Well, the other night, some guy in the airport just prayed for me this little tiny prayer, and I feel so much better. I said, then that's when you can tell him. Does it make sense? She said, it really does. I get it. I said, well, Merry Christmas. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, it was just fun to mess with her a little bit. She was a good student, I could say.
You know, we've talked tonight about get a piece of paper and get a something to write with. You know, grab a piece of paper and grab your favorite color crayon and make notes of time. And I want you to think about something. You can acknowledge, you can say, yes, God is good, God is great. You can acknowledge that the Bible is a roadmap to heaven, and it's a recipe book for prayers and all kinds of good things. You can worship somewhere. You can pray for yourself. You can pray with others. You can lead a good life. Watch what you say, watch what you do, and be just a wonderful person. And still have no relationship with Christ. In your whole life on a daily basis, you can acknowledge Christianity and not be a Christian. You can spend hours and hours reading and studying Scripture and going to meetings and groups somewhere and acknowledging the tangibility of grace, but yet not experience it yourself. Think of it this way. You can acknowledge God, but until you accept God.
Yeah, that's good.
Nothing's going to happen. It's like, this is a perfect example. I'm sure that most of the people listening to this radio show are within close proximity to a kitchen just overpacked with food. I mean, you couldn't find room to put anything in the refrigerator, and there's food stuffed in cabinets just to keep the countertops clean for all the food for tomorrow and all the snacks and everything. It's Christmas. If you're sitting in your living room in your chair and you watch somebody carry all these groceries in, and then you listen to everybody talking about all the money they spent at the grocery store and how it seems that the prices are higher than Thanksgiving, and you're sure that the price will cost more for Easter dinner than it is Christmas dinner. and you hear the pots and pans rattling, and you hear them talking about how, well, it's cold outside and this isn't important, so let's put this out on the back porch because it's 30 degrees outside and this will give me more room for this important thing in the refrigerator. And you smell, and you smell all this food, but yet you're still sitting in that chair in the living room. You saw them bring groceries in. You've heard all the hustle and bustle in the kitchen. You've heard all the ancillary conversations talking about the abundance of food. You can smell the food as it's being prepared, but yet your butt is still in the chair in the living room. Right. All you've done has acknowledged that there's food. You've acknowledged there's people making food. You've acknowledged that you're smelling food, but you have not accepted food because you haven't got off your back pockets and gone and received food to be receptive to it because you're in another room.
Right.
Now apply this acknowledgement. You've acknowledged God. You've acknowledged grace. You've acknowledged that there's healings, that you've acknowledged prayers. But have you literally accepted Christ into your heart? Have you taken that step? If I give you a Christmas gift and you don't unwrap it and you stick it in the closet and I tell you it's something that's going to save your life and your life will never be the same, and if your life isn't going very well, who's responsible for that? You say, I'm having a bad day, BJ. Things aren't going my way. I'm not feeling really good. And I go, where's the gift I gave you? Well, I've got it. You've got my gift. Oh, yeah, I've got your gift. It's important to me. Where is it? Well, it's in the closet on the shelf. Well, couldn't you use it? You've acknowledged my gift, but you haven't accepted it. Because when you accept something, it means you take it. And when you Right. take God's love, you have grace. And when you take grace, you literally take the flesh and the world out of your life.
Right. Well, BJ, what you just said is in Matthew chapter 7.
Really?
And verse it is, exactly.
I thought I was making that up. I never get credit for anything.
You don't get credit for this one.
I thought I was saying something really good, and you say, oh, no, it's right here in the book. Gee, man. Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to have another pretzel.
Go ahead and have another cookie. It says in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given to you. And the beginning of verse 8 says, for everyone that asks receives. Well, when it says ask, the asking means God presents or gives to you. But it says here, everyone that asks receives. And the word receive means to take. Well, if something is given to you, that doesn't mean you've taken it. It just means it's given, it's presented to you. So the moment you ask, God presents to you what it is you've asked for. And of course, that presentation comes from grace. But the moment you ask, your part is to what? Take it, receive it. So the acknowledgement of God's grace is to make grace available for what? The taking, the experience, the joy, the enjoyment of watching grace do something wonderful for you. And that whole thing has something to do with what? How you respond to the grace that's available. That's the reason why Peter, he acknowledged that Jesus was walking on the water. What did that do? It made grace available for him. But it wasn't until he said, bid me come, and then got out of the boat that he actually stepped out on grace and began to walk. And the interesting thing is, the moment he began to look at the winds and the waves, he took his eye off of the thing that he was actually holding on to, and he began to sink. So I think this has great significance here for us to begin to experience God in this new year. And that is, let's not just acknowledge that grace is there. My goodness, look for the opportunities of using it. I've had that opportunity in those Wednesday night services, of which we'll be back on Wednesday night at the library, the Hardesty Library, at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, starting January the 8th. During the holiday season, the library closes at 6 o'clock, and therefore our meeting time is canceled.
That's three Wednesdays from tomorrow, because tomorrow is the 25th. The next Wednesday is the 1st, and then the next one after that is the 8th. So three Wednesdays.
You're right.
Well, of course I am. I got a calendar right here on the wall in the barn. Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, you haven't wished anybody a Merry Christmas.
Well, but I'm getting ready to say something. Well, we're not going to have music, though, are we?
No, we got an email here. It says, Merry Christmas to Jim, Ranger, BJ, and all the listeners. I'm excited about my relationship with God in the future. This is from Catherine in Ontario, Canada. Thank you, Catherine, for listening. We got another email here. It says, Hi, Jim, BJ. Thank you for doing the show tonight. And a happy belated birthday to Ranger from Kaisha in Pennsylvania. But I'm on my way to Buffalo to go visit our triplet grandbabies who will be 2 months old tomorrow. Still in NICU. What's in
intensive care.
And must be natal intensive care unit, but praise God. They were only given a 10% chance of survival, but God's grace has prevailed. When God's grace prevails, they won't even be in NICU. I think you should just walk into that room. You should pick up those little babies. And if somebody says, what are you doing? Saying, well, you know, I think I'm going to take my grandchildren bowling. They're 2 months old and they haven't gone bowling yet. I think I'm going to take them bowling and get some pizza because grace says they're just fine. That's conviction. That's commitment. The more conviction, the more commitment, the more you demand that grace be in your presence.
That's right.
The more it's going to be there.
Right.
Still time to send an email if you'd like to, or if you'd like to send a text. It's on the contact page for the show.
I thought you were going to have that song. I saw Grandma kissing Santa Claus or something.
But see, I'm monitoring it. I need another. I think for me to do this, I need to either. Well, I mean, I need more money, which I don't really have, but. I'd have to spend more money. I need a bigger board. This board cost me an arm and a leg, but to get a bigger board with more channels, because it's about channels. This is an 8-channel board, and the next one up is 16 channels, which is like around $3,000-$5,000.
Oh, okay.
See, if I had a bigger board, then we could have all kinds of people Skyping, phone calls, and I could probably do a bunch of music and stuff. But
we'll do what we can do.
Yeah, it's what I got. But I mean, I yep. never, you know, I mean, when I got this board, well, actually, most of the time, the stuff I have is more than enough. It's just that when we really, you know,
sure, do we're branching out a little bit now, and
yeah,
you can see where
we
could use
maybe someday. Now, remember, folks, that this is Christmas Eve, and what you need to do is when everybody goes to sleep, make sure that you go over and unscrew one of the light bulbs on the tree so the lights don't work in the morning, and remember which one it is so that you can be the big savior of the day and say, wait a minute, let me check this, and everybody will think you're just amazing because you got the lights to work. And also remember to rearrange the gifts under the tree if you haven't opened them yet. Hide the pie so everybody wonders what happened to dessert. Well, there was three pies here. What happened to three pies? And then you can be the saver and say, well, I don't know what the deal is, but I just found three pies in the garage. Well, who put pies in the garage? Well, I don't know who did that. But see, everybody will say, wow. You fixed the Christmas tree lights. You figured out about the presents. And you found the pies. We would have had a terrible Christmas without you.
Folks, have you noticed that I've been quiet through all of this?
Well, yeah.
That's because, you know, that's just the cowboy, you know. I mean, if you want to take him up at his word, just go right ahead.
Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing says happy holidays like hiding the pie.
Oh, my God.
Listen, yeah.
Lord have mercy.
I'm sure. You know what? I wonder, do you think that we're the only ones that found that funny?
Well, I really don't know at this point how many cookies are left, but.
I don't know. You know, I think, you know what I think? So, you know what else I think would be really great, especially if it's a grandma or grandpa. You know, if it's like grandma or grandpa, I think the thing to do is the show is going to be over in about 5 or 10 minutes. And for some people, it's like 11 o'clock. And what time is it where you are?
It's 8:40.
Yeah. I think what you should do, Jim, when you get done with the show is because everybody will still be up, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think what you want to do is I think you should just walk through and say, I'll be right back. And then just say, come back in with your coat on. And ask your wife where the car keys are. And when she says, why, say, you know, nothing says Christmas like going bowling. I think we should just go bowling. It's only after a little 8 o'clock. And just look at everybody's face.
Well, you know what? Aaron loves bowling. So.
I know, but she wouldn't go bowling. She's not in her bowling clothes. She's in her, I'm home with my mom and dad Christmas clothes.
Yeah, that's true. We were even thinking about bowling last night with Mark's family, but
or I think if it's a grandma and grandpa listening to the show, like in Morgan Hill, and somebody says, "Well, it's Christmas. What are you and mom and dad doing?" I think they should say, "Well, we just yesterday to celebrate Christmas, we put a down payment on a Harley Davidson motorcycle. We've decided that we want to join a senior citizens motorcycle group." I think just to rock people's worlds. You know, I mean, it's the holiday season. Have fun with it. We already know that it really doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. Don't worry about it. Think of this, folks, on a serious note. If you're listening to Jim's radio show because you want a better relationship with God, if you're trying to figure out ways so that your prayers are more effective, then it means that you are a work in progress. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no limits and there's no boundaries to God's love, which means there's no limits and no boundaries to your growth. There is no end game. There's no certificate that says, congratulations, you're a Christian now. You made it. You got it. No, it's an ever-growing process. It's like a tree that always grows and springs new limbs and new leaves. And every year there's a bigger harvest. That's what being a Christian is. Enjoy that. But at the same time, you can sit down and relax and see the ridiculousness and folly of the flesh. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. Hide the pies. See how many people get upset because the pies have gone missing.
Oh my God!
Listen to you. Okay, there's got to be scripture about hiding pie and just sitting back and relaxing, right? Find some scripture for that, Mr. Pasteurizer.
Yeah, I don't know. Right off the top of my head, I can't come up with one. That's good. I think I'm going to just talk to the folks for a second here, and just first of all, tell you all that I certainly do wish you all have a great and wonderful holiday season and have a Merry Christmas. And you know, because this is a wonderful time, definitely use it for some of you that maybe haven't had an opportunity to think of the Lord and include Him in your life on a regular basis. Why don't you use tomorrow, tonight, this very moment as an opportunity to start? And for those of you that have been progressing and moving forward, why don't you use this broadcast as a means of just finding even greater desire and passion for having Jesus be a part of everything that you do, not just for a season, but be the reason for your life. So, Father in heaven, I pray for all these people that you'll just bless them greatly and cause their lives to be so rewarded with your presence on a 24-hour basis, where they not only know that you're there, but they feel your presence and can experience you. Father, I trust you even through this broadcast, that so many people have been encouraged, even as they look at this holiday season and see how much of the world is a part of it. But they're encouraged now to begin to make Jesus become the marker of their life, that very focal point where they wake up every day and throughout the day stay connected to him and just literally throw off the idea that the world has any part or parcel to their life, that they really are disconnected to the world but connected to Jesus. Help them to let this become a reality and make it so easy for them by you being there and by grace ministering to them even at this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, what do you think, Jim? Think we did all right tonight?
Yeah, I mean, the purpose that I had in my heart, I wasn't trying to bust anybody's bubble about the holidays. Holidays are great. It's wonderful. Family's wonderful. But just to bring a little clarity to them, I think we did about how, you know, the whole idea of Christianity and the holidays has been really misconstrued. And if this helped people to just make that little adjustment so that Jesus can be a part of their whole day, I think it's great.
And remember, folks, we want to say happy holidays to everybody who will listen to tonight's broadcast tomorrow, Christmas Day and Christmas night. We know that a lot of you are with family tonight and doing things, and you're going to catch the show tomorrow, December 25th. So I wanted to say hello to you. And also, we want to say happy holidays to everybody that listens to the show on the archives.
Up the archives. Hey, BJ, sorry to interrupt you, but bringing up the archives, in case someone's wondering when this show will be archived, it'll have to be when I get home, okay?
Okay. And on the archives, and also to everybody that listens other than live, the show does stream 24 hours, 7 days a week. And just to let you know, it'll take me about 20, 25 minutes after Jim and I and Ranger wish you well tonight. It'll take that long for me to record it and to get it up and streaming, and then it'll stream 24/7. So wherever you are, if you talk to somebody about the show and they say, well, I'm sorry I missed it last night, you can get a big smile on your face and say, no problem, it's streaming right now 24/7. Yeah. And so take advantage of that. And remember, folks, please remember, what a great way to spend a little bit of time on New Year's Eve, because we'll be done at least 2 hours before midnight. And so it'd be a great, if you don't want to stay up for New Year's Eve, but yet you'd like your New Year's Eve to be special, join Jim and Sherwood from Eau Claire and Sherwood's congregation. So we'll have two pastors pastorizing, double the pastorizing, next week, December 31st. The show will start at the same time at 8 o'clock, so make sure to take advantage of that. And also, we're talking a lot about the holidays, but remember that there are so many people that listen to this broadcast around the world that do not celebrate Christmas. Christmas to them is an American holiday or an English holiday, which is very interesting because they're Christians and they're having a connection with God, but yet in their world, in their life, in their country, they don't have Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, isn't that telling?
Yeah, it is.
It shows that the power of December 24th and 25th in America may have more to do with the United States than it has to do with Christ. Well, Jim, I think we did good. You're in Idaho.
Yes.
What are you going to do when we get done with the show? What are you going to do up there?
I think I'm going to get together with the girls, and we may try to pick out a movie and just watch something together.
Well, me and Ranger are going to check fences and gates.
Okay.
We got the ranch to ourselves. And then I think once the show's streaming and everything is good and we check all that stuff, then I think I'm going to light a fire in the wood stove.
Good.
And have something to eat. And so, folks, we're going to leave you on this 24th of December. And remember, it'll take me about 15, 20 minutes to get the show up and loaded. But there won't be dead air. Last week's show will instantly start playing. And also, when I switch and actually start streaming tonight's show, you will get turned off. You'll have to log back on to listen. So take care. Thanks for all the emails and all the text messages that we had tonight. Jim was in Idaho, I was in Oklahoma, and thanks to Grace, everything went just fine. Ranger? What do you want to say? What? What do you... And as always, Ranger gets the last word. And remember,
right.
Dog spelled backward is what, Ranger? Well, I don't think either Jim or me could say that better. What is it? What do you say, Ranger? Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night.